This is an exclusive presentation from Federated Media, Unholstered.
We are back. It is time for Unholstered here on WoWo. My name is Kayla Blakesley, just one of your hosts here on Unholstered.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Sophia Rosales-Catina. I've been asked to slow my name down a little bit some friends, so I'm slowing it down a bit. But I am a captain of the Fort Wayne Police Department on the Southeast Quadrant in Community Relations.
You obviously represent the local law enforcement side of things. I represent the local media side of things. This is the show where we come together and share and tell all the stories that don't often get told or discussed when it comes to law enforcement. And if it makes you feel better, Sophia, I get told to slow down all of my words all the time. So. Not
We've
just
only
my
got
name.
27 minutes.
I get it. I understand. And a lot of times my name gets botched anyway as Kaylee instead of Kayla. So at least people are getting your name right.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. But
Well, here we are. Speaking of names, we've brought back in a familiar name here on the show. I think this is probably his third or fourth time on Unholstered. But he's the go-to guy for both of the topics that we're actually going to dive into today. And one of the topics is kind of local, but I think it would be great to see this actually branch out to other school districts, what we're going to dive into this morning. But before we get to the topic, Sophia, who'd you bring back in?
Well, it's always a pleasure of mine to bring my boss and my mentor, I will say.
That's saying a lot.
Yeah, it is. But he's a great boss to work for. I encourage you to clone him and take him into your workplace because he's just fabulous. But I'll let him introduce himself.
Well, thank you. I'm blushing on radio. So, my name's Mitch McKinney. I'm a deputy chief for the Fort Wayne Police Department and, again, Southeast Division and Community Relations Division. And thanks for having me again.
You know what else I'd like to clone you for other than, you know, working for us is to MC all of our events because I have been to an event that you MC'd before and you slayed. It was fabulous.
It's fun stuff.
It was so fun.
Good to work in the community that way.
Well, speaking of working in the community, what a great segue, unplanned. Mitch, you kind of helped lead this charge for this safety referendum that was put forward for Fort Wayne Community Schools. And that's the topic I actually want to start with today. We're going to get to talking about some school resource officers later on in the program. But I want to start with this referendum because Fort Wayne Community Schools, at this point, it got voted on, it passed. Mm-hmm. And so now Fort Wayne Community Schools making good on this referendum. And something I want to point out that I've learned from you is that Fort Wayne Community Schools is actually the largest school district in Indiana.
That's correct.
It's just absolutely huge. But a piece of that referendum that I specifically want to talk about are the metal detectors, if you will, that will be going into place. But before we even get to all of that, can you refresh our memories for folks who maybe are like, Kayla, I have no idea what you're talking about. What is slash was this referendum?
You know, Fort Wayne Community Schools worked diligently on this with Matt Schiebel and with Mike Manuel, Tom Miller, you know, together with Dr. Daniel. Don't forget Charles Kamek, you know, has since retired, to make sure that we have safety in our secondary schools based off of basically what's happening across the country. Yeah. And we want to make sure that our schools are secure. And you have to look at a system for us where we as Fort Wayne Police Department are in a contract with Fort Wayne Community Schools, but we have 6 full-time school resource officers for the largest school corporation in the state of Indiana. And it's one of those we backfill with school security officers, but it was time to take a good look at what our security really was for our schools. And this whole core at Fort Wayne Community Schools came together and brought together a really good plan.
And did they bring it to Fort Wayne PD? Is that how that worked? Or how did you guys get involved?
So we're in contract with Fort Wayne Community Schools. So we were at the table from day one, and our former chief, Steve Reed, was at the first couple of meetings and then passed that off to me. Since we supervise the school resource officers, it just made sense that I was at that table to sit there and review what they have brought up, ideas they brought back from other school corporations to see how we can integrate those into our schools.
There were a lot of different pieces of this referendum, but I feel like the piece that got the most attention was the piece about these metal detectors. And why I specifically wanted to talk about this today is because, you know, if parents have kids within the Fort Wayne Community Schools District and they're coming home saying, Mom, Dad, this is happening. This is in fact happening. The metal detectors are going up, is my understanding, Mitch.
Oh, they're absolutely there. They've been working in a pilot program since last Thanksgiving.
So, okay, talk to us about the metal detectors because Sophia said something off the air that I think is really important to say on the air. Yes, can we call them weapon detectors? Can we call them that? I mean, that's the purpose of them, right? It's not just for guns.
That's right. People are going to label them.
Yeah, people are going to label them.
But that's what people are most familiar with, like when you go through metal detectors at the airport or something like that. So people understand what it is. But it's not just guns that they're looking
for. Right, and that's what I think is the important piece of the story to tell, Sophia.
Yeah, so through my career as a police officer, we always get like these alerts from other officers or other jurisdictions. It gets passed around through law enforcement of just making us aware of different weapons that are disguised as other things. So there could be knives in lipstick cases, in compact cases, in combs, in brushes, and things like that. So that people can turn weapons, they can make weapons out of anything or hide them in anything. So I think when we're talking about these kind of detection systems like are in place, that's what they're looking for, not just guns. Knives can be just as dangerous in schools as guns can.
Absolutely.
So are these like, I mean, when I think of a metal detector and weapon detectors, I guess, I think of like TSA at an airport. Is this what students are going to see within Fort Wayne community?
No, they're using a system called Open Gate. So, and they've used a pilot program at the high schools, but their south side has been great to go through this. And they've worked very well of having the kids come into one entrance to come through. And when they walk through them, you know, if they pass their electronics around it so it doesn't harm their laptops, just like you do in TSA, right? You don't walk your laptops and that through there. So they pass those along.
Same like with cell phones and whatnot? You
correct.
Pass those
they pass
around.
It off to a staff member and then they walk through and then no beeping or anything. They pick their stuff up and they go on to class. The whole point of this isn't just to find a weapon on somebody. It's to make sure the schools are safe, one, and make sure that the kids are getting to class on time. Mm-hmm. And so they've really done a great job of doing that. And it's really staff driven. It's not law enforcement driven. It is staff driven.
What happens if, let's say, a weapon is found?
They go to a secure room where they go through, and then they go through their protocol for having the child empty their pockets. So they have their own policy separate for that. Again, we don't have involvement in
that. Gotcha. So they're not going to call over an SRO or anything
they
like
could.
That?
If they have somebody in the building, they could, yes. But some schools don't have one.
Right.
You know, and
well,
then
you just
they
said
come
you only have
it.
Six, right, for the whole
we
district?
We only have six, and then school security officers. And you know what? They take days off, too. Mm-hmm. And there's just times that there may be a time that there's a void. And the staff, it's all staff-driven. The staff have relationships with these kids, and the kids understand what the purpose is to have those detection systems in the schools.
So is this for middle school and high school, elementary? What schools are we talking about here?
All secondary, middle school and high school.
Okay, so middle school and
high
school.
We'll have the system.
And it's mobile. So this can be taken from the entranceway of the school to the school gymnasium. When they have a school basketball game or a football game, if they need to do this, they can move those. A school dance, any kind of school where there's a large gathering of students, they can move that to there. So the entrance now is protected.
And are they going to do that? Do we know?
They have.
They already have? Yeah.
They've used them at games and things like that. So any type of school function, they can take the system and move it to where they need to do before you gain entry.
Have either of you heard any feedback since these have kind of started to be used on a regular basis?
Yes. They in working with the security team, it's going great for them to come through. And the number one thing that they did that I appreciated was there is signage way before you come out of that parking lot to let you know what's going to happen when you get to the doorway. So if you are armed, if you have something on you, you need to secure it because it's not allowed in the school. It's not allowed anywhere there. And so it's like you can go and secure your weapon if need be, or you can decide not to attend the event. But the schools have the rights to not have weapons on their property.
Do they have that kind of signage and whatnot as you walk into the school? Because initially when this referendum was being discussed, particularly this piece about the metal detectors, there's all this talk about how, oh, it's going to be frightening for kids. It's going to look like they're walking into a jail. I'm sure you guys remember hearing those kinds of similar comments. So I think with that kind of signage, if you will, or letting people know, hey, this is what you're about to walk into, it does kind of help remove that or take away that argument of this is so frightening. So is that at the schools as well?
Absolutely. You know, so that they know. And the biggest thing is the parents of the kids at the schools where this is actively being deployed, is to share that with family members and friends and be the disciple on this to say, hey, we want our schools safe and this is what the schools are doing, and be advocates for the system. And if something is bothering them with the system, the security department at Fort Wayne Community Schools is more than willing to talk to anybody who needs further explanation on the system.
You know, I'll say this. I'm a parent. And if my kids had to go through this to go to school, I'd be okay with it. Do I like it? Do I think we should be at this point? No. But I also am realistic in the fact that this is where we are. Mm-hmm. So to me, this isn't scary. What's scary is a child going to school and with even the question of, am I safe today?
Yeah.
That's what's scary. Actually seeing someone get shot or stabbed, that'd be more traumatic and scary than going through some kind of device that half these kids don't even know what it is. They just pass through and it's all good. But we have like the 1% mm-hmm. who may be taking something into school. And that's what this is aimed to kind of weed out.
Do we know if it's helped identify some weapons? Have there been many confiscated because of these metal detectors?
I don't know that information.
Okay, I'm going to ask you another question that I don't know if you know the answer to. Do you foresee or do these plan on being implemented at the elementary schools?
I would say no. I would think the secondary school is where it's going to be at. We as a department, and we have a great safety village, and Officer Ingram does an excellent job of utilizing the Eddie Eagle program. Mm-hmm. And in that case in point, there was a child that found a weapon outside of the courthouse because he had taken that program.
I remember that.
Yeah. Went and saw behind a bush, saw a weapon, went and got an adult and told them that. And the adult knew it was matter of fact and walked over. And sure enough, they went and got court security and they confiscated the weapon. And that's what we do for our elementary kids. Mm-hmm. But the introduction of that and the system that way, we leave it in secondary schools for now.
At the end of the day, when it comes to this particular referendum, Mitch, were you surprised that it passed?
Not at all.
Oh, okay.
We did a lot of educating on that.
Yeah.
And what I really appreciated, again, from Matt Schiebel and Mike Manuel was, come talk to me about it. Invite me somewhere. Give me a crowd. Mm-hmm. I will speak with you about this. I'll give you all the fact. They were completely transparent about the program from jump. And they had to be that because they answered to a school board, and the school board knew the message that was going out, and they knew who was sending the message out. And I believe that that rang true with voters.
Yeah, I really would agree with that because y'all were very transparent. The superintendent of Fort Wayne Community Schools, I had him on the show. I had you on the show, Mitch. I mean, we talked a lot about it because I also thought personally it was really important to comb through it all because, again, Fort Wayne Community Schools, the biggest district we have here in Indiana. And quite frankly, I can't help but wonder if other schools are going to follow suit, other districts.
I hope so. And I just want to make this point that this isn't just about detection.
Mm-hmm.
This is about preventative measures
yes.
as well in this referendum.
Mm-hmm.
This is about increasing SROs. This is about increasing peer support and having more adults in there with their eyes on the kids. Because we all know we've talked in the past couple of shows about emotional health of our students these days and our children, and it's at an all-time low. And, you know, that just breeds a lot of times violence. There's a lot of bullying that goes along with emotional lows. There's a lot of picking on other kids. And when people get picked on, then they retaliate back. And how they retaliate back depends on what they can get their hands on.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say I'm really happy that this had some preventative measures as well. A lot more preventative than it does detection.
You know, that's so true. We always criticize law enforcement. We criticize lawmakers, right, for being reactive, right? A lot of times you hear that people are like, let's be proactive instead of reactive. To me, this is a proactive measure, like you said, a preventative measure instead of being reactive to, God forbid, a situation breaking out in one of our schools that we don't want to have occur. And you made a good point, Sophia. That's way more scary than walking through a metal detector before you can go to class.
Absolutely.
You also mentioned increasing SROs. And on that topic, we are going to pivot. And for folks who maybe haven't seen this story, it's actually out of Minnesota.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, right. How shocking. Oh, there's lots of drama that Minnesota's had since about 2020. I'm sure you all remember the George Floyd story, and that's what kind of really sparked a lot of this drama. There were some laws that went into place in Minnesota that essentially removed, quote, use of force and the ways that law enforcement could potentially I'm going to say, touch, handle, deal with suspects. Well, these laws also then end up translating into the schools. So when that happened, Minnesota saw this mass exodus of SROs from their school districts. We're talking over 40 different police departments withdrew their SROs from
rightly
the schools.
So.
Yeah. And
rightly
okay, so this is where I want to start. So let's start with that piece. We'll tell how the story ended in Minnesota later. But first and foremost, I wanted to get both of your opinions on this. Was that the right call? I mean, I'm getting from you, Sophia. You just said rightfully so.
No, it wasn't the right call. I think they're conflating law enforcement with school personnel.
Yeah.
We're completely different.
Yeah.
We are law enforcement officers no matter where we go. If you're having me in the school to act as a law enforcement officer, that's what I have to do. And that comes along with everything that I do. I'm the one that makes that determination. And if I'm wrong, there are courts that hold me accountable. But you cannot curtail what I do because a knee-jerk reaction to something you didn't like somewhere else that had nothing to do with anything that happened in the schools.
Yeah, and can you give an example of a case that use of force might be used in a school with an SRO?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's plenty of times. You can see the videos. I mean, you can just kind of scour the internet and you can pick up these videos of schools because now the body cams are everywhere.
Yep.
You're actually seeing what people are doing. So I just watched a video the other day of this young lady who had been suspended from school. They asked her to leave. She refused to leave. And it was like 25 minutes of this officer just asking her to leave. And she's just cussing
him up
and down.
Was it in Minnesota? He could only ask her. He could only talk to her.
But I was just like, okay, it's time for an arrest.
Yes.
She's not going to leave. And then she's on the phone talking to her mom, telling him she's hitting him. And clearly he's not doing anything. He's not even touching her. He's hitting me. He's pushing me. And clearly he wasn't doing anything. And at that point, you've asked him to leave once, maybe twice. That point, you are now under arrest, and I'm going to use the force necessary to take you into custody.
When I think of all those videos that have also surfaced, you see students just beating almost to near death a lot of their teachers sometimes. And I'm like, are you telling me in the state of Minnesota, a police officer couldn't hop on that kid and rip the student off and separate this fight? And according to a lot of these laws in Minnesota that were passed, you couldn't. And so it was mind-blowing to me. So, Mitch, would you have supported this, like, mass exodus of SROs?
Absolutely. I would have pulled them out of the schools.
You would have? Okay. Yep.
I would have told them all, you're done today.
Yeah.
I'll come back here. I'll give you a reassignment here because, like, here, we're a union town here, you know, and it would be one thing to come through straight with the union. Hey, I'm pulling these people out of the schools based off of this because they're not safe. The officer's not safe in that. So what is it going to take for someone who's outside of the school whose kids tell them this is what they have to, this is what they can't do to us in the school? What does that mean for anybody entering the school building? Mm-hmm. How am I being restricted as a law enforcement officer? We have rules to abide by. As Sophia said, if I do wrong, well, there's a federal court of appeals, and if I do wrong, I'm going to end up somewhere I don't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how to do my job, and our officers are well-trained. And we go and we apply what we need to take care of the situation.
Refresh my memory too, Mitch, just for sake of conversation. You oversee the school resource officer program within the Fort Wayne Police Department, right?
Correct.
So is there a certain level, I'm also assuming, of training that these SROs get before they even walk into a school?
They go through from the National Association of School Resource Officers. That's every SRO in the country goes through the same training.
Okay.
It's a one-time certification, but they have continuing education every year. But they go through the same training that every officer in the state of Indiana has to go through. There's no separated training that way. They still have use of force, defensive tactics, firearms, driving, CPR, all kinds of training, right, that we have to have done. But we have some specialty training that they go to in different times of the year. But they're police officers, as Sophia said. They are trained police officers. If I need them to come out and go work the street, that's what they're going to do today. Come out of the school. I need you to work the street.
Have you seen anything similar, and not even just within the Fort Wayne Police Department, just around the state? Because, I mean, Sophia and I just mentioned a couple of stories that we are seeing in schools these days. I mean, violence in schools has reared its ugly head as well. Have you seen a decline in individuals who are willing and want to be SROs because of some of the laws that we have these days and cancel culture and body cams and things you can and cannot do and say? Have we seen that here?
I would say no, and we're about to have an increase of SROs here.
Really?
We're going to have 9 SROs will be bid to schools, and then our hope is to add 9 more. to come through. It's just an agreement that we know that we have more ground to cover, and we're just going to try to do the best we can to accommodate. And that was part of the school safety referendum, that they offered that to us, and we're going to try to accommodate that. It takes time to do that, but I believe you're going to see officers willing to go work in the schools. We have plenty that work there as school security officers part-time, and they would love to do that full-time for their job.
I don't know why that surprises me.
Well, it doesn't surprise me because we haven't had those kinds of laws that have been restrictive like that.
Yeah. But I mean, just being in the school system in general, I mean, you hear it all the time. A lot of people are like, I don't even want to be a teacher.
You have to love kids. You have to want to make children's lives better because that's basically what it is. You're building relationships in that school. And I've said this before on the show when we talked about SROs, you know, it's all about the relationship and they're all about the trust that the officer has with the kids. And that is what we strive for in the SRO program. It's not about arrests. It's not about taking kids to jail or, you know, youth. I always call it WOOD because that's what I
saw.
Youth services.
She old.
I am old.
I didn't say it.
But it's about building those relationships so you get information so you can stop things before they happen.
Yes.
And they get that information from these students. The students are readily texting them before, hey, so-and-so has this, or so-and-so is going to do this. And then they can take those kids, meet them at the bus, get them where they need to go in a safe spot and talk to them and see what's going on and see if they can prevent something from happening later.
Absolutely.
So it's all about those relationships. It's not about punitive things that officers are going to do in that school. And that's, I think people get this idea that it's about taking kids to jail and arresting kids, and it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
That SRO position is so vital to some of these kids because sometimes that's the only person they can talk to.
Absolutely.
And the only person they trust.
Why does it, Mitch, you mentioned, you know, you think you have quite a few officers that are going to want to be SROs and go into the schools, but why does it take so long, I guess, to get them there?
Well, the thing is it's an employment issue, how many officers we do and don't have here, because that takes officers away from patrol. Patrol duties are the most important duties we have on the Fort Wayne Police Department. Any police department is your officers that are working the street. And to fill another spot, well, you're robbing from patrol to do that, to go through. If someone may leave the detective bureau to go, that's going to be a rarity. But someone from patrol is going because it's a uniform assignment. And so we have to build up our coffers first. And we have to have a really good base of officers, which, you know, shameless plug, we're taking applications now through May 31st.
Oh, I was just going to say that.
We're in the same brain.
How can you apply then? Real quick.
Joinfwpd.org. Go there. Click on it. And it shows you how you can text to there and a recruiter will get right to you. But it is about relationships. Like Sophia said, it's all about the kids and all about relationships. And if I can put that down to one word, and Dr. Daniels made it quite clear, and I'm seeing this happen to follow through this referendum, is advocacy. And it's for the teachers. So the teachers can have classrooms that aren't disrupted. They have 57 student advocates that they're hiring to be in the hallway. So if someone's disrupting Sophia's class, she can get a hold of an advocate. They'll come to the classroom and bring the child into the hallway and have an adult that child can sit and talk through what's going wrong so the teacher can teach the classroom. It's making the classrooms what they're supposed to be. And shout out to, you know, Angela Monte and Chris Lahr at Southside, the Peacemaker Academy. Mm-hmm. They're at Southside and at Northrop, and they have so many days of peace. It's kid generated. Mm-hmm. And so when you have that and you hear the officers talk about what a great school that they work in, why wouldn't they want to do it full time?
Yeah.
You know, and they do, and they're waiting for that day to come. And we're going to see a time we're going to have 18, 20 SROs, but we have to make sure we maintain our patrol levels before that ever launches here.
How does that part work? Does someone just come to you and say, hey, Mitch, when the time comes, I want to be an SRO?
Like, all the time, don't we?
Yeah.
Don't we?
Really? A lot of them do that. And they say, hey, look, I'm interested in the SRO program, but, you know, we have limited spots. Mm-hmm. So you either have to wait till someone attritions out, quits the program, and because it does no longer works for their family or something. Because a lot of times, you know, I'm not going to lie, a lot of these people that are SROs have children in the school system. So it's nice that they can just do the school year with them.
You best bet I'm not sitting on the parent action committee once my kid's out of the school. Okay, I'm out. So I get that.
Yeah, so it's helpful for them as well.
Yes.
The schedule's conducive to what they do. But at the same time, we have about half of our people that just like kids. They don't even have kids, some of them. So they just like mentoring kids. And that's what it's all about, is building those relationships. But we do need help. We need people to put applications in and go through the process and get hired. And we're in that hiring process now. And I implore you, if you're even considering a job in policing, put the application in, get a hold of one of our recruiters, and we'll get you up to speed before, you know, you even go any further.
Well, I am happy to report, when it comes to the Minnesota story, there is new legislation being put forward that would clarify this use of force law that was kind of muddled from a few years ago, to make it, I'm going to call it more SRO friendly, whatever you know you want to call that, to really clarify this use of force. And the hope is obviously that all of those, you know, SROs that kind of left all the school districts there in Minnesota will eventually come back. It does seem like this law is going to be, or this bill is going to be signed into law. But so I feel like at least Minnesota is heading in that direction.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I don't get where they see, like, you stop being a police officer and you walk through a school door.
I don't get that
either. It's just not how it works. I would just think people would be smarter. But again, those were knee-jerk reactions without consulting people in law enforcement to actually see what we do. And that's why this show is so important to me and what I do, is so people need to know what we do. So if someone tries to come up with a new knee-jerk reaction, like, no, I listened to Unholstered and Sophia said this.
Sophia said. That should be like our hashtag for the show. Sophia said. It's so true. And even just something really minimal that I have learned, too, is a lot of duties that sometimes I think are yours, like the Fort Wayne Police Department, are really the Allen County Sheriff's Department, or it's Indiana State Police. Like, even just there's so much that's going on in as a resident that I don't know either. So I agree. That's why this show is so important. Hashtag Sophia said,
yeah.
You know, that's why you got to be tuned in.
Make it go viral.
Yeah, that'd be great. Wouldn't that be great? If anything does change or happen in Minnesota, I'll be sure to share here on Unholstered. Mitch, we've had you on before talking a lot about the school resource officer program. So I would encourage folks, if they want to learn more about the SROs and really the whole point to the program here and what it's all about, I would encourage you to go look for previous episodes of Unholstered on the podcast page. I mean, you can download Unholstered anywhere you download a podcast. Just search for Unholstered. Your town, your team, your topics. This is Unholstered.
Thanks for listening to Unholstered. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, Google Play, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search Unholstered. Podcasts by Federated Media.